You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. This is Intermezzo. Beethoven is going to be making an appearance in Las Cruces this weekend at First Presbyterian Church. It's a celebratory concert at the conclusion of some major renovations in the sanctuary. I am delighted to welcome back into our studios Janet Lohman and William Kuiper. Janet Lohman, who has chaired the committee for the renovations and also is a wonderful harpsichordist and keyboardist here in Las Cruces, and Bill Kuiper, horn player with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra and retired assistant horn player, as I recall, with the New York Philharmonic.
Yeah.
Did I get all that right?
Well,
more or less?
The titles are funny things, but I think the important thing is that I play the horn, and I was in the New York Philharmonic for 38 years.
38 so. Years. Okay. So let's start with Janet. This is a concert taking place Sunday at 3 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church. Tell us what has gone on in the renovations, and now I'm assuming we're going to have a beautiful, new, acoustically rich concert place.
Yes, and we have found that to be so. You know, we never know. It's kind of a toss-up with acoustics. As we know, some of the major halls in the United States have not been successfully renovated for the acoustics, but we're very happy with the improvements that have happened in the sanctuary.
Can you give us a little brief update on what has happened?
Sure. We started this the end of 2011.
Oh my gosh.
Three of us were sitting in the sanctuary one day just saying, the musicians at the church, just saying, what can we do to make this sanctuary better? We called it Vision 2012 because we thought it would take about a year to finish. And here it is, 2017. We just celebrated the dedication of the sanctuary, October 22nd. So we have learned patience. We have learned that God's time is best. But the three goals that we had were to improve the acoustics, to improve the lighting, and to improve the function of the room. And I think we have been successful in all three of those.
So how does one improve the acoustics?
We had to put in more hard surfaces. We had carpet on most of the floor, even up on the pulpit area where the speakers would be. The only place that we really didn't have carpet was in the choir loft. But the minute that sound came to the carpet, of course, it
deadened.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and we also had some bell tables that were an obstruction right in front of the choir. They blocked a lot of the sound. So in honor of the functionality of the room, we took out those bell tables. We now use bell tables that can be brought in once a month when the bells play. So it has opened up the room exponentially for the function of it. Huh. But the thing that the members of the church noticed first was the lighting was going out. It's a 50-year-old building, and they couldn't read the hymnals. They couldn't read the bulletin. They couldn't follow the liturgy because the lights would happen to be out right over where they sat in the pew. And actually, Bill's wife, Joan, was one of the first that started bringing her flashlight to church. But it wasn't a matter of just changing the light bulbs. It was the whole fixture was so old that they were breaking down. And, of course, no replacements mm-hmm. from a 50-year-old fixture. So we had to start from the very beginning. We called in an acoustician first. And he was from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who happened to be helping the Newman Center in their renovation at the time. So he came late 2011, gave us a report in 2012, and we have tried to adhere to that as much as possible and as much as the funds allow. Some of the fixes that he recommended were cost prohibitive. But it's a very interesting room with a lot of angles. It's not a shoebox on its side with a barrel vault ceiling, how the old churches were made and the sound waves could just roll down those walls. It's kind of an unpredictable space acoustically, but we're thrilled with the results.
And it was just recently finished?
Yes.
All of this. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we're talking about the renovations to First Presbyterian Church on Bouts Road. This Sunday, there'll be a celebratory concert. It's all Beethoven, and we've got a wind quintet and a very famous septet that Beethoven wrote. Bill Kuiper, let's talk a little bit about the music.
Certainly.
So I was reading about the septet, which was very famous after Beethoven wrote. He was fairly young when he wrote it, and it became so popular that he started to not like it so much because everybody wanted to play it.
You know, both of these pieces are what we call early Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Beethoven, of course, lived and composed at a time of tremendous change in Western civilization. Things were going on, and he certainly was one of the main artists that reflected and responded to the sociological, political changes that were going on. So I've read the same things that you've read, that he grew to not like this piece, even though it was so popular. I think probably because he had moved on himself as a composer and as he approached the music that he wanted people to perform. Both pieces are early Beethoven.
Well, this one, the septet, it's a very sunny piece. It's just beautiful melodies and there's always slow movements and slow parts, which will usually create a little bit more of a melancholy moment, but they don't have the tempestuousness. So I think that's probably partly why it was so popular.
It could be. You know, both these pieces, the quintet with piano, four winds and piano, and the septet are modeled, taken after models that were used by composers like Haydn and Mozart. The septet is very similar in form and in structure to the serenades and divertimenti. I've read that Beethoven was especially fond of participating in performances of Mozart's quintet, and a person can see that there's a connection there.
Yeah, and at the beginning, he was modeling some of his music on particularly Haydn. And then I think because of the symphony and the string, his work in string quartets and
exactly.
And the symphonies. But so he was still under that influence. What are the instruments in the septet?
Well,
that's seven players, obviously.
Well, you said it. I was just going to say seven. There is one each of the four string family: violin, viola, cello, and double bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are three wind instruments. It's the clarinet, the bassoon, and the horn. We call it the French horn. Those are the instruments.
And who's playing?
Ah, well, we have musicians that perform with the Las Cruces Symphony. Gordon Butler is going to be playing the violin part.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Kreider,
mm-hmm.
viola.
Viola.
Alicia Dolan will be the cellist. Robert Taylor, the double bass. John Pleasant is playing clarinet. Katie Brennan, I'm not sure how she pronounces her name. You hear Katie these days playing with the symphony a lot.
Yeah,
and myself, my favorite horn player.
And a wonderful horn player. So who came up with the idea of wind mostly? I mean, the septet is winds and strings, but you've got a little bit of a predominance of winds in this concert, and that it be Beethoven.
Well, it goes back, you know, the chamber music, there's a social aspect to that. Gordon and I performed in a quintet with in El Paso with Dina K. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful quintet that Vaughan Williams wrote, and just from rehearsing, and actually we carpooled over there to. I said we got to play the quintet someday, and I mean the septet, and Gordon was right ready for that, and then. Time goes by, and you're looking for an occasion. And last year, I got a group together after rehearsal. Just let's read it,
mm-hmm.
And we finally this was a perfect opportunity, a very special place. There'll be an audience there that I'm sure will be eager to hear us play.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're delighted that this come to be.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And can you say a few words about the quintet as well?
Sure. The quintet is the four wind instruments are the three, plus Janet Blair will be playing oboe. And the pianist is Stephen Helmreich. People from Peace Lutheran, of course, know Stephen especially well. But Stephen has had a presence in chamber music in Las Cruces for a long time.
And you've also played this, I'm sure, many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many stories, you know.
Let's hear
that's
one.
That's quite an aspect of my life. You want to hear a story?
We do.
At the New York Philharmonic, our life was regulated pretty severely or appropriately. But on concert tours, there would be the sponsors wanted more music than just a few symphony concerts. And finally, we worked out an arrangement at the time of Zubin Mehta, that we would on concert tours be able to play chamber music. We got a letter of agreement, and we had ad hoc committees. You know, you get all that stuff with administration and whatever you have to do, and it's a good thing. So our corporate sponsor at the Philharmonic on international tours was Citibank Citicorp, and they wanted to have a big affair at the Iguazu Falls in South America, which is a sensational destination. Eleanor Roosevelt said those waterfalls make Niagara look like a dripping faucet, which is a little bit of an extreme. And so we played concerts in Brazil, Rio, and then some of us flew to Iguazu. And as we were getting ready to go down and see how the setup was, there was a lot of commotion. And it turned out that the double bass and the cello was offloaded at one of those other airports like Belo Horizonte or somewhere else in Rio. And it was going to be impossible to play the septet. But the bank said, no, we'll get them here. And they launched a corporate jet to go get the instruments. And then, believe it or not, they couldn't get the trunks in this corporate jet, the big travel cases.
Yeah.
And they asked permission to break off the locks. And of course, these instruments are
valuable,
valuable special art pieces. And they said, no, we were not going to give permission. Anyway, Zubin Mehta was with us. Zubin is a very gracious man and handled things well. Stanley Drucker, the legendary clarinet player, played some unaccompanied pieces for clarinet of Stravinsky. And there was a wind serenade with an octet. But when all this waiting was going on, they must have said, bring out more champagne. So all the guests of honor were waiting around and getting more and more champagne. It was just a very lively, wonderful evening.
And you had the concert without the cello and the bass.
Yes.
You just put the music together.
I was there with Joan, my wife, and they never heard the glory of my horn. But we certainly enjoyed Iguazu.
Well, that is a great story. Bill Kiper has been telling that story about when he was in the New York Philharmonic. He will be the horn player this Sunday with this concert. It's called Beethoven Comes to First Presbyterian, and it's musicians from the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra and Stephen Helmreich on the piano performing the quintet in E-flat major, opus 16 of Beethoven for winds and piano, and then the septet that we've been talking about, also in E-flat. Same key, opus 20, and it's at First Presbyterian on Bouts Road. We're going to go out with, and thank you, Janet Lohman, for talking about the acoustics. Do you get to play in the church on a regular basis?
I'm not playing regularly anymore. Okay. I have an injury. So
okay. Mm-hmm. But you used to.
But I love to listen. Yes.
Okay, yes. And we always have to have a good audience. We're going to go out with a couple of movements from the septet. The scherzo, which is, this is a six-movement piece. As you mentioned, it was modeled on a kind of divertimento, which would be a suite of shorter movements, although this adds up to about 40 minutes of music. So it's
a big piece.
It's a big piece. The scherzo and the final movement, the andante con moto alla Marcia.
Mm.
Did I pronounce that right? Or Marcia? And we're going to be hearing the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, probably people you knew well back in the day.
I recognize those names.
Yep. Joseph Silverstein on the violin, though he's more associated with Boston later on.
And he was a concertmaster 1 year at the Philharmonic.
At the Philharmonic.
Interim basis.
Okay.
Joseph Silverstein.
Yeah. And David Schifrin on clarinet, Robert Rauch on the horn and a group of others. Anyway, Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, want to tell us just a little bit about this scherzo and final movement we're going into?
Well, the scherzo is lively. You know, it can be said a scherzo is a joke. But what it is it starts out with a horn, so it's especially lively. The trio of the scherzo is another wonderfully lyrical thing. The introduction alla marcia is almost like a funeral march. It's almost like the people should be sad that the grand party of the count or the duchess is coming to an end, and it starts in a minor mode, but soon it gets lively and back to the major mode.
Here's music of Beethoven. Thank you so much, Janet Lohman and William Kuiper, for coming in and talking about this Beethoven concert this Sunday at 3:00 in the newly renovated sanctuary of the First Presbyterian Church on Bouts Road.